Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Understood. All right. Okay. All right.
I got to get a regular theme for the opening of it. I love the music, but I want to see if I can get something regular, you know.
You know the audience can hear you, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. No. I sure did. All right. Well, perhaps they can help me by sending in some suggestions. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger. I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder and our mission today, and I greet all of you, the listening audience, our illustrious host, as well as my distinguished panelists, and I bring words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. I know that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is speaking live in Detroit. So hopefully others will join us when the program is over. I look forward to a lot more people calling in later. We did not know, of course, that the minister was speaking tonight. And if we did, we would have rescheduled our study group. But we're going to proceed as always. And before we get started, of course, I would like to take the time to introduce my beloved brother and friend, Brother Eric X. Sullivan, who is joining me tonight and asking questions of our host, our beloved brother, our diamond among men, a soldier who stands on his square and supports in love the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and supports in love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan through the Minister James Muhammad out of Tampa, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, Sasha. How are you?
Walaikum salam. I'm fine by Allah's grace, Sister Gidget and Brother Eric, and of course our listening audience as well as our audience online. I must confess I'm extremely nervous at this point because I never, ever can justify speaking while the minister is speaking. But as Sister Gidget said, we had no knowledge that it was going to be webcast. In fact, when I pursued the information, I was told, insofar as they know, and this was from the mosque in Chicago, insofar as they know, it wasn't going to be webcast. And so I just found out. So I hope and pray to Allah that the minister would be pleased that I'm honoring my responsibility to this show and to you, our listening audience. But I strongly encourage you to listen to the minister. And, of course, those of you who wish to participate, by all means, you can. But I must tell you that I encourage you to listen to the minister at this time.
Yes, sir, and thank you for that, Brother James. Thank you so much. And we have with us Brother Eric X. Sullivan. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself, dear brother, and present yourself again because you are not a stranger to our show. So come on down front and center, soldier, and tell us a little something about yourself before we get started.
Well, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger. And I would like to thank Allah for coming to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad and intervening in our affairs and raising up from among us the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'd like to thank him for leaving in our midst the man who is speaking right now that I also wanted to get back to, but we do have to fulfill our obligations, and for sending us and raising up from among us the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, my mentor and mentor of all of us in the nation who strongly believe and follow him. Yes, I'm from Peoria, Illinois. I joined the nation a while back, went to prison, fell off, came back, and now I'm back for good, and that'll never happen again. But I'm very glad to be here. I wanted to tell both of you that you represented on defending the minister yesterday. Brother James, you were so knowledgeable with the knowledge of Dianetics and how it was being used, and you were very articulate and very knowledgeable as to how the young man that asked the question about the Dianetics, he just shut down. He had nothing to say after that. You had so much information for him. So I just wanted to say that I admire you both the way that you handled that.
Oh, praise is for Allah. Thank you. And Minister James, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I am. I'm here. I was on mute because, you know, I like to move around, Sister Gidget. Sometimes I forget that I put the phone on mute because, you know, when the fire is like shut up in my bones, as our Christian preachers say, I can't sit still. I got to move around and, you know, jump up and down and all of that, and it disturbs the broadcast. So I had you on mute, but it's off now.
Oh, you didn't want the pages rustling this time, Brother James?
Oh, I see, Sister Gidget, you put me out there. Now everybody knows my modus operandi.
He was a witness. And before we start to ask questions, I've got a special shout out that I want to give to Miss Mamie Dixon, who is the mother of Brother Eric, and who listens to our show. So we are certainly grateful to have among us elders who appreciate our work, and that is such admiration and such inspiration. So thank you, Mother Mamie, for your love and your support, and of course for such a wonderful job that you've done with our beloved Brother Eric. And also, Minister James, I have a message for you from the show last night. There's a brother named Derek 3X. I think his last name is Minor. And charge it to my head and not my heart if I got that wrong. Derek 3X Minor, who said that had it not been for you, he would have never stood up in the nation. And so kudos to you, brother, for being an inspiration to so many throughout the nation. And I just wanted to let you know that Brother Derek said that.
I appreciate that, sister. All praise is due to Allah. To Allah belong the praise. And to my brother, Derek, if you're listening, which you probably aren't since the minister is on, but if you are, assalamu alaikum, and all praise is due to Allah.
Yes,
the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Yes.
Yes, sir. Okay, so Brother Eric, you have a question, and I know that the format is different for our audience today, so I want you to know that we are going to let Student Minister James Muhammad teach on the time of what must be done, part 18, and we're going to start the questions with Brother Eric. Brother Eric?
Okay. Yes. My first question, the minister, during part 18, he quoted 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, my question was for you, Brother James, what is the relevance of the use of the word man and son of man in this verse? And also, part two of the question is, since everyone believes this man to be Satan, why does he need to be revealed?
Thank you. And first of all, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent and the Merciful, we thank Allah for making his presence known to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, and raising us from our midst his Messiah, the exalted Christ, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, through whom we have been given the wonderful example of the quality of a human being. He is Redeemer, he is Warner and Guide and Teacher and Deliverer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I am proud and humbled at the same time to be blessed to be a student in his ministry. And so I greet all of you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Now to your question. And I think in the question, the answer was given.
Yes.
Our people, and in fact, for the most part, globally,
In large part, the human family has been indoctrinated to believe that Satan is a spirit, a spook, or a ghost. They have some degree of correctness in that, but it is that inability to locate Satan, to identify Satan, that allows him to have hidden all of these years. And so, as you see displayed in Hollywood when they make these movies of demonic possession, as well as much of the doctrine that is and sermons that are preached in the church that support this lie, this falsehood that Satan is a spirit, even though the Bible directly refers to him as a man and the man of sin. And so therefore he has to be uncovered, because when the scripture says a man of sin, then it implies that he has some degree of ethnicity. He has some human faculty. He is of a certain race. He's of a certain makeup, a certain color, or the lack thereof. Satan is a man. And the reason why Satan never wants to be revealed as to who he is because the revelation of Satan simultaneously and at the same time is the revelation of God. If Satan is a man and comes in the person of a man, exists in the person of a man, then God also exists in that same person of a man. And this is the secret that the enemy, Satan in particular, does not want us to ever have revealed. That he is a man operating in and through a man, and that God, the Supreme Being, is in fact a man operating in and through a man. And so it's necessary that there be a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. That falling away, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, means the falsehood that has clad that philosophy that Satan is some kind of invisible spirit, that has to fall away so that the truth lying underneath of the reality of Satan can be revealed. It also means that once he is revealed, the people, once recognizing him, will fall away from him. Because that day to which the scripture is referring is the day of judgment, the day of requital, the day, as it is written of in the Quran, the day of the resurrection of the dead. And that day and that resurrection cannot come except there be a falling away of the mask that Satan has been hiding under, and that he be revealed. And today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is boldly and clearly revealing him. And as Isaiah the prophet said, the bed is too narrow and the cover is too short. Now today, because of the word and work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the man of sin is being revealed. The question is, once revelation comes, will those who see him fall away from him?
Right. I'll pray to do a lot.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I hope that addresses your question, dear brother.
Yes. Very well.
Okay. Well, Minister James, student Minister James, when
Thank
the
you.
Minister opened up initially, he opened up saying, not at the very, very beginning of his speech, but he warned us in his own unique way that in this day and time that we needed to put on the whole armor of God. And, of course, throughout the years and throughout a lot of Christian churches and a lot of Christian people that have referred to that cliche often. But I would like, if you would, to expound on what that really, really means and why is that so critical at this point.
Thank you. The verse reads, put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand, or that you can stand against the wiles of Satan. For we war not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he defined the word wiles, it means a trick, a deception, or a strategy to deceive. Here again, put on the whole armor of God. An armor is that which protects against an anticipated or impending attack. The first part of the armor is the helmet of salvation. And the helmet is that which covers the head. The helmet of salvation is the truth of Almighty God and the truth of the knowledge of self and our connection to God and his connection to us and the truth of the prophets and the messengers and the truth of the scriptures of both Bible and Quran and Torah, the truth, unadulterated truth, uncompromised truth, that truth that will make us free. If we have the truth in our head, then the attack being waged by the trick, by the deception, by the strategy to deceive cannot be successful. Because as the Quran teaches us, dear family, we hurl truth at falsehood and knock out its brains. And in the presence of truth, falsehood cannot stand because falsehood is an ever-vanishing thing. So put on the whole armor, not just some of it, but the whole armor of God that we may stand against the attack and the barrage of lies and falsehoods that Satan has waged against our minds. Put on that protective helmet of truth that we may be saved from the wiles of Satan.
Yes, sir. All
right.
Praises due to Allah. Thank
all
you.
Praises
and,
due.
And before
all
you
praises
go, Brother Eric, I think your mother just got on, so I want to shout out to her. Again, shout out to you, Ms. Dixon, and thank you for your love and support. Thank you, Mother Mamie, for listening. Okay, go ahead, Brother Eric.
Okay. My second question actually comes from my fiance, Ms. Deanna X. Robinson. And her question was, how do we handle it when Satan comes after us as believers in the second falling away that the minister talked about Saturday in part 18?
That's an excellent question. Again, I would refer to the minister's recitation of that scripture that instructs us to put on the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in recent months, has authored a pamphlet, a book form, if you will, titled, In This Day Our Righteousness Shall Sustain Us. And in 1995, in his historic Savior's Day address, just before the Million Man March entitled Jesus Saves, he made this statement. To the degree that we discipline our lives to the teachings that we have accepted as truth, it is to that same degree that Allah God or Master Farad Muhammad can save us. So that is to say that if we desire the protection from Satan, then that teaching, that truth, that religious and spiritual instruction that we have accepted as truth, our lifestyle, our actions, and our behavior must reflect what we
right.
say out of our mouths. And if we are consistent with our actions as it relates to our professed belief, then God is obligated then to come in and protect us from the wiles of Satan. But if we deviate, that's like a chink in the armor. And it is through and in that chink that Satan can get in. So to say it in the short way, dear sister, if you're listening, to say it in a short way, don't just be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word, as Jesus said. We have to be doers of the word. We have to not just talk the talk, but we've got to walk the walk. And therein lies protection from the satanic attack.
That's right, brother. As they say where I'm from, don't talk about it, be about it.
Yeah, brother, they should have asked you the question because, you know, I get long-winded. You know how preachers are, brother, but you said it in the few
brother,
short words.
Brother, I very much enjoy your long-windedness because you go through the explanation quite well, and some people need to hear it laid out a little bit more fluently that way, you know. So, yes, do your thing.
All praise is due to Allah. I hope Allah is pleased. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So in this segment of the Time of What Must Be Done, Part 18, the minister mentioned the book of Job, and he spoke on hanging out with Satan, who seeks to devour man. And he talked about Satan walking up and down and to and fro and how that symbolized the cross. And so I just want to ask you, in your humble opinion, Brother James, is have the churches led the people astray? And are the doctrines of the church controlled by the policies of America? And is the separation of church and state factual?
You know, dear sister, that's an excellent question.
Great question.
And I would just expand on your question by saying it's not only the church that led the people astray. It's the mosque, it's the masjid, it's the synagogues, it's the cathedrals, it's the cloisters, it's anywhere where the name of God is lifted verbally, but the practice of the people are as far from the word of God as east is from west. In the Quran, we are witness to a conversation that Satan or Shaitan or Iblis is having with Allah. Now, it's not necessarily a peaceful conversation. Allah God orders Shaitan or Lucifer or Iblis to bow down to that man whom he has fashioned from black mud into shape. And Iblis, and of course, as the Quran records, all of the angels, they had a little question. They said, what are you creating out of black mud into shape? It will only cause mischief and the shedding of blood. And God said, I know what you know not. But they hurry up and change their position because they know better.
So they said, we exalt thy praise and extol thy majesty. In other words, don't get us wrong, God. We're not challenging you. You see? But they bowed down. But Iblis, he did not bow. And when God said, why did you not bow down to that which I ordered you to bow down to? Why did you disobey? I'm not quoting it perfectly, but I'm giving you the principle and context of the scripture.
Right.
He said, I cannot bow down to that which you have made out of the dust or out of black mud and fashioned into shape. Why? I am made of fire while he is made of dust. And what that means is, according to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is that fire is knowledge. As fire breaks down material to its elemental parts, so does knowledge break down concepts, breaks down truth to its elemental and basic parts. So God is talking to Lucifer, and Lucifer got beside himself, forgetting who created him, who gave him the knowledge or the fire
right.
He so boastfully is bragging he is in possession of. He didn't realize it wasn't the man that he had a problem with. It was God that he had a problem with.
Right.
So Allah told Satan, since you have disobeyed me, get out of here, despised and rejected. He kicked him out of heaven, kicked him out of paradise. Now, Lucifer, coming to his senses, he says, hold up, God, and pardon my modern translation.
That's all right.
He said, hold up. He said, please, grant me respite to the time that they are raised. I want us to listen to these words of Shaitan. Grant me respite. And respite, so teaches the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, means delay my doom. Grant me respite. Until when? Until the time they are raised. They who? Raised to what? It is not coincidental that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said his mission was the resurrection, the raising of the dead.
Yes, sir.
And Allah said, be thou among those who have respite. On earth is provision for you and the time. So Satan got his time, he got a place to work out, and not only a place to work out, but he got provisions, but only for a certain time. And so Satan said, once he has gotten that agreement from Allah, he says, since you have caused me to be disappointed, I will lie in wait for them in thy straight path. Now, I'm coming to the answer to your question. Please be patient with me, Sister Gidget.
I got you.
Take your time, brother.
Since you have caused me to be disappointed, that's some word. The prefix dis means not. And appointed means from the word appoint and the word appointment. Satan thought he had an appointment. And what was his appointment? He thought he was the favorite of God. In fact, he thought he was going to inherit the kingdom. So Satan said, since you have caused me to be disappointed, I will lie in wait for them. Them who? The man, the people that you have fashioned out of black mud into shape.
That's right.
I'm going to lie in wait for them in thy straight path. Now check that out. In Arabic, it is the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Well, the same path that is referred to as the straight and narrow in the scriptures. It's the same path that all religious institutions claim to be running through their temple or running through their mosque or running through their church.
That's right. Path to enlightenment.
But Satan said, I'm going to lie in wait for them in thy straight path of religious doctrine. And I will come, and here's that sign again, I will come at them from before them and behind them, from their right and their left. And when I'm finished, you won't find many of them grateful. And so God said, you will get them all, except my purified ones. Purified. And then I'm going to fill hell with you all, you and those that you got. Because God really don't need any of us. So he allowed Satan to work his work. So where does Satan work? He works in the straight path. He works in the church. He works in the religious doctrine of the temple. He works in the religious doctrines and rituals of the masjid. He works in the rituals of Catholicism, of Protestantism, of Christianity, of Islam. This is why everyone is bowing to Satan. The Christian church alters its doctrine so that they could get faith-based support from the government, money from the government. So they won't call the powers to be to account. There's only one man standing up and facing the powers that exist and calling them to account, saying, thus saith the Lord. I don't care how powerful you think you are. I don't care how much weaponry you have. I don't care how much wealth you have. I'm telling you that God is after your backside and your wealth and your weaponry and all of the authority and power that you think you have will not save you from the judgment.
Who is that man, brother? Tell him.
That's the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
You better teach.
But the preachers, unfortunately, I mean, they're getting a little better. But they're acquiescing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the sign of the cross. The cross has never been the sign of Christianity. Never been the sign of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
The cross represents slavery, suffering, and death, and that's why you find it on top of all of those graves in the graveyard.
That's right.
Because everything in there, indisputably and inarguably, are dead or is dead. But the cross has a deeper significance. The cross represents the duality of man. Man has a horizontal nature, which means man has the potential to move out materially, but he also has a vertical nature.
That's right.
Which means man can evolve, he can grow, he can develop spiritually into God and become the manifestation of the Supreme Being. So that cross represents the duality, and in that duality is the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
The struggle of the material inclination, or the inclination toward the acquisition of material gain, with the acquisition or development or evolution or ascension of man into God. This is what it means, I believe, when the scripture says, it is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't mean if you have money, you can't go to heaven. No, doesn't mean that. But it means that by means and methods of acquiring this wealth, for the most part, humanity has put the righteous principles of God, the statutes, the policies, the rules, the regulations, and orders of God, he's put that aside for the acquisition of riches.
That's right.
So, that cross, we all have it, you know? And that's why Jesus in the Bible said, when that man came to him and said, Master, how do I get the kingdom? How do I get to heaven? The master said, do the law. So this man, apparently self-righteous and arrogant, he said, well, I'm doing that. Then the master said, good. Now I want you to go home, sell all of your possessions, and take the money and give it to the poor. Pick up your cross. He didn't say, help me carry mine. I got mine, the Jesus said. I can handle mine. No, you pick up your cross.
That's right.
And follow me. Well, Jesus didn't see that man anymore. But we all, all praises due to Allah.
All praises due to Allah, brother.
But we all have our crosses to bear, Sister Gidget. That is the struggle of the lower self, the material, the carnal self, with the higher self.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I wanted to make that plain because we do have a lot of Christian listeners, and I don't want them to get the under the impression that we are anti-Christian, but
or
I
Christian
want them
bashing.
To understand what Christian means and how it was established and what the cross really and truly represents. And I want them to stop thinking, oh Allah, stop thinking that Jesus died for your sins. So, you know, if he died for your sins, why do you have a cross to bear? That makes no sense. So I just want our people to become more aware of the scripture and have some clarity on what they really mean, because to cite or quote the scripture is one thing. To comprehend is something else altogether, so different.
That's right.
So I'm going to, and we have a question on the line, Brother Eric, if you don't mind. Brother James, you want to take this question on the line?
I'll be glad to, but if I may, dear sister and brother, I'd like to give a brief and hopefully clear explanation as to what a Christian is. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us that a Christian is one who is crystallized into a oneness of with God by following the example of Christ.
Come on.
And so if I follow the example of Christ, I may be a Muslim. I am a Muslim. But I'm also a Christian, and I'm also a Jew, because a Jew is one who has who is in or has entered into a sacred covenant with God to obey him in all things. That's a Jew. So I'm a Jew, I'm a Christian, and I'm a Muslim. Listen, a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to do the will of God. Now, I want my Christian brothers and sisters who are listening or who are online, what is the to consider this. What is the will of God? The will of God is obedience to him. The Christian's oft-repeated prayer is, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That particular phrase of the prayer kisses the Muslim in his belief. If a Muslim is one who submits his or her will to do the will of God, and Jesus is saying, not my will, Father, but your will be done, and Christians are followers of Christ Jesus, then the Muslim and the Christian are one and the same. The Jew is the same as a Muslim. The Muslim is the same as a Christian. But Satan has gotten in the straight path of the expression of God's divine religious instruction, as he said he would. And he has divided the people one against the other.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to say that to my Christian brothers and sisters. We're one. The minister is the best Christian you'll find.
Yes, sir.
So let's not allow the enemy to divide us on the basis of religious titles. You sing it in the church. Blessed be the tie that binds. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said the tie that binds everybody to everybody is the common strain of truth that runs throughout every faith expression.
That's right.
And I'll stop there. Thank you, Sister Gidget. By the grace of Allah, we'll take that question now.
By all means, take that question, sister. My question can wait.
Okay, hold on. Okay. I come like Brother Kareem. You have a question?
Wa alaikum salam. Salam alaikum, my brother Kareem.
Salam alaikum, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, as always, in the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, who came in the first and the last of Farah Muhammad, as always, doing an excellent job on post. I'm loving it. And the question I have is, let me say this. From what you just said just a moment ago about, like you said, the prayer, what they call the Lord's Prayer. And I would hope to add some clarity, because I notice I hear it, and this is a common thing, because we repeat what we hear. But in studying the Bible, I noticed this when I was studying that. It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And because I was always saying it the other way too, until I studied that, and then I thought about the fact that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us and teaches us, and just as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan continues to teach us, that heaven is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mind. It's where the mind is centered at. And so that the only way that heaven is going to be in the earth, which is our body, and then the planet we live on, is that if God is in our mind. You know, and I mean, that's the only way. And like you said, that's what it's about, because the scripture does say to us, it doesn't say to us, and I may be getting this twisted, but help me if I am. The scripture doesn't say to us, I think it says, be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It doesn't say the renewing of your spirit, it says the renewing of your mind. And so
That's the mind, brother. Is
the key thing. But now my question, you know, and I'm in agreement with my brother, Student Minister James Mahalo, 100%, because this is what it's about. But my question goes back to the talk of, and what the minister has been telling us about, that great separation. Okay, that falling away. And the question is based out of Message to the Black Man, page 105, where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us, and I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not going to read it, but when he talks about the fact that many of us, we walk around and we are looking for our brothers and our sisters in God, I'm going to say it that way, based upon the color of skin.
Mm-hmm.
And based upon what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gives us in Message to the Black Man, then would you say, and that's what I'm saying, would you say that this is contrary to actually seeing who the devil is? Since the man of sin has to be uncovered, And I'll be very honest with you. I mean, I was born and raised in the nation. But I'll be very honest with you. There have been individuals who, if you look at them, I'm going to say it this way, if you just go by the way they look, you would consider them to be Caucasian. However, they have treated me with more love, and I'm serious, more love and respect than those who look like me when I look in the mirror. So that makes me think, I mean, in other words, is there another criteria that we have to use to identify the man of sin? And when I say the man of sin, I mean the woman of sin. In other words, is there another criteria which we have to use other than skin color to determine who are really going to be our friends in this walk with God and who is our enemy?
Yes, sir, brother. And I appreciate your question, Brother Kareem. It's always wonderful to hear from you, brother. You fire me up, man. But you're right, dear brother. There are other criteria. There's no question or criteria. There's no question about it. But I want to talk about the point that you made as you closed your question regarding how those that look Caucasian, they're treating you better than the people that look like you when you look in the mirror. I want to say this, you know, our people have become more devilish than the devil himself.
Yes, sir.
But we must remember that our people have been made self-haters, self-negators,
yes,
self-disrespecters. We weren't born that way. We were made that way. Coming up in a history where we were reduced in our minds to something less than animals, the enemy made us to believe that we were worthless. And so when we see each other, that is the mindset and the lens through which we see each other, and that is the standard by which we judge each other. And that's why we come up with phrases saying, a nigga ain't nothing. Nigga can't do nothing for me but show me where the white man went. But we were given that mentality, and as such, you may find quite frequently that some not looking like us may treat us better than we treat ourselves. But that's conditional, and it's not natural.
That's right.
Right.
Now, to your question regarding another criterion, yes, there is. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said to us in his historic Savior's Day address of 1997, entitled The Gift, he said, Satan is deceptive intelligence that rationalizes disobedience to God and makes evil
fair-seeming.
That's
right.
That's right.
That rationalization is not limited to flesh or flesh color. That rationalization is in every flesh color.
That's right.
Yes, the black man has a problem, but his problem is himself. The white man, of course, has a problem, and his problem is himself. The rationalization of doing an evil act in pursuit of pleasure, in pursuit of material gain, in pursuit of just getting your idea over. That's Satan. It's rational. I'll give you an example that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us. He said, on your job, there's a beautiful sister there, and she's married, and you know she's married, and you always wanted to say something to her, but you refrain from approaching her that way because you know she's married. So the sister comes in one day. She has on some dark sunglasses, and, you know, she's not as engaging as she normally is, but you don't say anything, you just watch. A couple of weeks later, she comes in again with dark glasses on, but the bulge of a swollen eye is peeking out from under the lens.
Mm-hmm.
And she's definitely distraught. So you feel you have to ask her, well, what's wrong? So you ask her, what's wrong? And she'll say, oh, nothing. But she begins to weep and breaks down and tells you, you know, my husband beats me. Now, here you are. You want the woman, but she's married. And the fact that her husband beats her, hell yeah, that's, oh, pardon my expression. Heck yeah, that's wrong. Never beat a woman. But you recognize that as a doorway now through which you can insert your rationalized evil act.
That's right.
You comfort her and say, oh my God, sister, that's so wrong. And you're right, but then you say, if you were my woman, I would never hit you. I don't know how he could hit you, because if you were mine, I would never do that. Now, see, in those words is the satanic rationalization. And what's going on in your mind? Man, that nigga don't know how to treat her. He's beating her and abusing her. Now, see, that's the rationalization. She'd be better off with me. But what you're doing is you are violating the sanctity of a marriage.
Of their marriage.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right.
But you rationalize it as coming to her aid. That's satanic. That's the rationalization.
Mm-hmm.
To make your evil act of so-called coming to her aid fair-seeming.
Fair-seeming.
And that's Satan. And we all have it. It ain't got nothing to do with flesh color. The Honorable Minister, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, dear family, used flesh color or the lack thereof as a strategy to raise the black man.
Mm-hmm.
He took all of what we were doing wrong and put the blame on the white man. That exonerated us from carrying the guilt. That relieved us of carrying the burden of guilt and having the negative self-perception.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't our fault. It was the white man's fault. And then he cleverly used that same philosophy. And it is true. Now, ain't no made up something. It's truth. It's based in truth.
That's right.
But he used that so skillfully. Look at how he reformed us. We didn't have to go to any halfway house or any drug rehab or any alcoholic rehab. He just told us, look at you, drinking the white man's alcohol. And after we came into the knowledge of what the white man was and what the white man had did to us, that's all we needed to hear. What? This belongs to the white man? And we threw it away. He said, look at you, smoking the white man's cigarette. All we had to hear was that it belonged to him. Look at you, using the white man's drug. All we had to hear, after coming into the knowledge of what white people had done to us, and yes, developing a keen hatred for them. I know we used to say, we don't hate the white man, we just know him. But, you know, I said that myself, but I was lying through my teeth, because I sure hate
him. Keep it real, brother, keep it real.
I'm just being honest. But you see, after coming into the knowledge of what they did, what they do and what they continue to do, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan used that bit of racial emphasis and distinction to reform us, and he did. Those of us who had $1,000, $10,000 drug habits. Those of us who had alcohol habits. Those of us who had an inordinate sex appetite we couldn't control. He reformed that. Now, I know there are many who are listening, but I believe my responsibility to testify to the healing power of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is more important than my privacy. You are looking at someone who has been in, or you're hearing someone, rather, who has been in and out of institutions for being duly addicted, they said. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict at the same time. And I've been in institutions 3 times in my life, and they could not stop me.
That's right.
I was addicted to heroin when I was 16 years old, and I was an alcoholic at 15 years old. But all praise is due to Allah for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. The words that are coming out of my mouth represent the words of a man on his way to being resurrected into God. I had nothing to say to anyone before I was blessed to meet the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Right.
I had nothing to say. You would look at me and walk on the other side of the street. And I'm not exaggerating. I didn't have anything to say. I had a serious knot in my tongue. But praise be to Allah, I speak with eloquence now, not because something, I mean, I am something as we all are, but it's not me. It's God speaking through me. Can't you tell?
Come on.
That's right, brother.
So I have to give all praises due to Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and raising up from our midst the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that long awaited for and exalted Christ, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the servant of both those men in our midst. Lord have mercy. I think I'm getting the Holy Ghost, Sister Gidget.
All right. That's all right.
Come on with it, brother.
We can go to church.
I told you I was a Christian.
Come on. You ain't never a Baptist with a bow tie. You better
right. I hear you getting nice and fired up.
All praises be to Allah. All praises
be to
Allah.
Go ahead, old brother.
Okay. If we have another question before I lose it, told you. Go
brother
ahead.
Brother Eric, it's on you, dear brother.
Okay. You had me distracted for a moment. I done put the book down and the question. I was too busy listening. I forgot I was on the show momentarily.
And Brother Kareem, your mic is open, so if you got another question, just say something. Let us know.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm in church.
Yes. Once again, in Part 18, our Honorable Minister quoted Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1.
Yes.
And it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression, and tell the house of Jacob their sin. Now, my question is, first of all, could you explain this verse a little more clearly and shed a little light on who the house of Jacob or Yaqub is referring to?
Yes, by the help of Allah, dear brother. First and foremost, these are the instructions given to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he received those instructions upon his attendance to his first meeting in Chicago, where he saw the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, let me just say that the minister was placed purposely in a seat where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad could see him, and he could see directly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad spoke, the minister thought, he said, man, this man can't even speak English well, because the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had attended a college for English and took English. Right. He majored in English and in Latin, and he had great command of the English language.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he thought that, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as reported by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, looked up right at his face and said, oh, brother, I didn't get that fine education that you have. When I got to the schools, the doors were closing. So, brother, don't worry about how I say what I say. Only try to understand what I say, and then you put it in that fine language that you know. He was giving the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan his mission, his instruction. And it is written here right in the scripture, because that man is coming right up out of the pages, whether you want to accept it or not. Every word of this scripture is referring to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. It is not by accident that the symbol on the corner, the top corner of the final call, is a trumpet.
It's a trumpet.
Come
That's
on,
right.
Tito Nat. Tito Nat.
Mm-hmm. And show my people their transgressions. Show us our transgressions. And a transgression is a rebellious act against divine law. So show us our rebellious behavior against the divine law of God. And also the house of Jacob, their sin.
Come on,
Jacob can be interchanged with the name Yaqub. And Yaqub, Y-A-C-O-B, or Y-A-C-U-B, is the name of a black scientist, a brilliant scientist, 6,600 years ago, approximately.
Come on,
was
brother.
playing with two pieces of metal. And he saw one piece of metal draw the other piece of metal under its power. It was called magnetism. And from that observation, he said, I'm going to make a people that will master our people.
That's right.
And he went to work. Now listen. Let me just say it right to the point. I'm talking about the Caucasian race.
Right.
Now, I know some of you that are listening, y'all are getting excited saying, I knew the Muslims was, or Muslims, or however you pronounce the name. I knew they was racist. I was just waiting for that racist stuff to come out. You be quiet and listen. Get some understanding. If white people cannot produce a yellow baby, and they can't produce a red baby, and they can't produce a brown baby, and they darn sure can't produce a black baby, but we as black people can produce the whole spectrum of flesh color, and we're both here, then we had to be first, and they had to come from us. The question is,
right,
how did they get out of us?
Come on. Mm-hmm.
This scientist, Yaqub, studied the genetic makeup of the human being, just as they do today. They're not the authors of genetic engineering. They learned that from us.
Mm-hmm.
And he studied the genetic makeup of the black man of his time, and he saw in the black gene a brown gene or a brown germ. And he had the technology to separate the gene. So he separated the brown germ or gene from the black germ. And as the brown germ gave birth, he would separate the brown child or the black child from lighter child from the darker child.
That's right.
And while he was doing it, he had given orders to his nurses and to his doctor. He told the nurse, when a black baby comes out, stick a pin in his brain and kill him, and then tell his mother that this was an angel baby and he went straight to heaven. And this is the origin of this doctrine of having to die before you get to heaven.
Uh-huh.
Yaku made every one of those followers of his get a blood test to see if they were strong breeders. And this is why before you get married, the white man makes you get a blood test.
Uh-huh.
Now, while he was manufacturing the different strains of races, the lies that he told, that the people were instructed to tell, the murder that was committed in the process, like you put ingredients in a cake to make the cake. When the cake comes out, it is the sum total of what is in the cake to bring about a cake. Well, the sum total of the white man is what is in the white man to bring about the white man. And it was lying, murder, and deceit, and mastery of the original man. And this is why in their nature, they can't bow to you. I remember Chris Rock doing a stand-up, and he was saying, you white folks will never change places with me. He said, right now, there's a crippled white boy or white man in the audience with no money. But if he had a choice to change places with me, he said, no, I think I'll ride this white thing out, see where it takes me. And then he said, and I'm rich. Now, I say that with, you know, with humor, because in their nature, it militates against them bowing down to any black man. They hate you to be their boss on a job. Tell me I'm lying. I know I can't hear you, but think about it. So that ingredient of murder, lying, and deceit, and the inability, even as Iblis had that inability.
Mm-hmm.
I can't bow. And white people say, I can't bow to these niggas. I don't care how educated you are. And so we got all the education in the world, and we're still at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yaku produced the races. It took 200 years for him to produce the brown or the yellow. It took 200 years for him to produce the brown or the red. It took 200 years for him to produce the Caucasian race. And the 200, 200, and 200 adds up to 600 years, and Yaqub had 59,999 followers. His self-making 60,000, and they were given 6,000 years to rule, as it is written in the Holy Quran.
That's right.
Respite me to the day that they are raised, and the day, the time, the hour of our raise is after the, or our rise rather, is after the 6,000 year rule of the white man.
Mm-hmm.
At 666, and the revelation says, count the number of the beast.
And the number of his name.
And the number of his name. It is 666 and 60. Our score is 20 years, so that's six. Six, six, six. Well, it is count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man.
That's right.
Now, look, the scripture gives great support to this. It is written in Genesis, the sons of God, black people, saw the daughters of men, white people, at that they were fair and took them for wives. That word fair, if you define it, it means light complexion or white.
Right.
Fair skin, huh?
Uh-huh.
Now, that's not racist talk. That's the truth. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that, you know, we can get upset with white folk for what they do, but we made them and taught them to do what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a purpose for that. So the house of Yaqub, or the house of Jacob, which are now these highly placed Jews, that are attacking the minister, the Jews, and not all of them, but members of them, the satanic Jews.
Synagogue of Satan.
The synagogue of Satan. Huh? It's all in the Quran, what they do. Look, let me read some of this Quran. If you don't mind. Y'all all right?
I'm all right.
Okay. Praise be to Allah.
All praise be to Allah.
Look at what it says in the fourth chapter. The 46th verse. And I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Or in the name of Allah, with the assistance of Allah, I read these words. Some of those who are Jews alter words from their places and say, we have heard and we disobey. That's in the 46th chapter, or 46th verse of the fourth chapter. The altering of the words means that they go into the original text and then give it their version. And this is why you have a King James Version. What is a version? A version is not a translation. A version is how I see things.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the King James Version. Let's read on. In the fourth chapter, again, in the 60th verse, we read, hast thou not seen those who assert that they believe in that which has been revealed to thee and that which was revealed before thee? They desire to seek the judgment of the devil, though they have been commanded to deny him, and the devil desires to lead them astray. The them here are talking, or the them are us, or the righteous, and they who are seeking the judgment of the devil is talking about the Caucasian race.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to read on. In the fifth surah or chapter, the 41st verse, it reads, O messenger, let not those grieve thee who hasten to disbelief from among those who say with their mouths, we believe, and their hearts believe not. And from among those who are Jew, they are listeners for the sake of Allah, listeners for another people who have not come to thee. They offer the words after they are put in their proper places, saying, if you are given this, take it. And if you are not given this, be cautious. Now,
right.
The Jews were given the Torah.
That's right.
But they altered the words of the Torah and manufactured what is called the Talmud.
Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
I'll go on. in the ninth surah. For this is a different subject matter. This is a little different.
Okay.
But I don't want to deviate from the point.
Okay.
The 62nd chapter, the 6th and 7th verses. The 6th verse reads, "Say, O you who are Jews, if you think that you are the favorites of Allah to the exclusion of other people, then invoke death if you are truthful. But they will never invoke it because of what their hands have sent forth, and Allah is knower of the wrongdoers." And this is talking about those Jews who are bragging about themselves being the chosen of God. They have absolutely usurped the position of the righteous. They have absolutely paraded around masquerading in the garment of the righteous. And this is why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did a series of lectures entitled, "Who Are the Real Children of Israel?" It is not those transplanted Ashkenazi European Jews over there in Palestine that have robbed the land of the people or from the rightful people there.
Come on with it, bro.
It's not them. All right. I got a little excited. Well, this is the showdown, isn't it, Sister Gidget?
Brother. Brother, get excited. Do your thing, brother.
No, the showdown was actually last night, and I cannot believe that I'm still dealing with this, and I just got through dealing with somebody about this online. So I guess the showdown is still going on, but I'm just going to say this because I know y'all listening. I'm going to stand for my minister. I don't care what you say. I don't want anybody attributing to what I say is of the MGT. I'm doing what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told me to do. He said, accept your own and be yourself. I'm not being anybody else. I'm being me. And if I say to you that I'm sick of your shit, I'm sick of your shit, and that is from me. That is not representative of the MGT. That's from me. So if you got a problem with what I say, you deal with me. But that is not for you to attack the MGT of the Nation of Islam. You don't know who you're dealing with. And I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to let Brother Kareem come back and ask a question, because right now I'm just not the person you need to be talking. And go ahead, Brother Kareem. You got a question for Minister James. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Well, that's all right, sister. But listen, I feel sorry for the person that provoked you like that, but come on, Brother Kareem.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's right. I got a several posts they need to check out on Facebook about attacking the MGT. They need to shut up. But anyway, the question that I have is this. Well, let me preamble with this. For those who are Christians and who have a problem with the history of Yaqub, check your Bible. It's the book of Genesis, chapters 30 through 32, and the story is right there. And if you need some help with that, contact Student Minister James Muhammad. He can help you with that, but it's right there in your Bible. Now, my question is this. Since the Caucasian did come from us, we know this to be a fact. This is not some fairy tale that we just came up with. Because we know that the Caucasian came from us. And as you just taught, as you just so skillfully said with us, the fact that it's not his skin color that makes him wicked, but it's what was taught to them and the actions that were taken to bring them into existence which made them have the nature that they have.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was us that produced them. And since they are, dare I say, the epitome of wickedness that is in us, could we say that they are a mirror for us to show us ultimately what we would be without the mind in the guidance of Almighty God Allah? Hmm. That's my question.
That's wonderful.
Well, yes, brother, that's a good question, as a matter of fact. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us in the Supreme Wisdom. The question is posed, why did God make devil?
That's right, that's right.
Mm-hmm. He made devil to show forth his power, that he could produce a people out of the righteous that are weak and wicked, and cause the righteous to overcome that lower part of themselves and destroy the devil overnight. Now, I'm not quoting it properly, but the purpose of the making of the devil is to show the righteous, the black man, what his potential for evil is.
Hmm. That's right.
He brought it out of us and gave it form. And this is why the scripture reads, he came in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh. Well, flesh is not sinful. You take the mind out of flesh and flesh ain't nothing.
Come on.
Is that right? So how does flesh be sinful? It is not flesh that is sinful. It is the mind in the flesh that inclines the flesh to sinful behavior. But he made that statement because there is a specific flesh that is the personification of the manifestation of evil, and that is the flesh of the Caucasian.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So he came in sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, and Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due to him, and to Allah, is, and when you look at him, he looks like a white man.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Looks like.
In fact, he's made up of the two peoples. And he has the nature of the two peoples. You didn't hear me.
That's right.
But he's master of the day of judgment and master over the flesh and over the nature. And by that mastery, he can do justice to both and for both people. So, yeah, dear brother, I may have forgotten your question. Forgive me, I might be having a senior moment. Did I touch on it? Can you repeat it?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir. You hit the nail right on the head. The question was, could it be said that they are a mirror for us?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, dear brother.
Yeah, to show us what we would be without the guidance and the direction of Almighty God Allah.
Absolutely. They are a mirror that we can look at. The Caucasian race is us, with absence of righteous bearing, of righteous nature.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say this, that, you know, the Caucasian race, you have a chance. You do. You get angry with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught him and he teaches us, we don't believe in race mixing.
That's right.
We're against racial intermarriage. Now, you call him a racist, but in reality, he's saving your life. Because if you mix with us, you are through.
Hmm.
Because our genetic makeup is so much stronger than yours. And fortunately, because of the melanin content of the black man, when a white person intermarries with a black person, then the baby coming out black, for sure. You can call it a mulatto, a quadroon, a sextroon, or whatever that language you made up, but the reality of it is, it's a black baby.
That's right, brother. Their genes are recessive.
That's right.
Yeah, and I mean, that's not something that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said alone. Go study your own geneticist, Mendel.
Mendel.
Yes.
He said, dark skin is dominant. Light skin is recessive, meaning weaker.
Mm-hmm.
He said, dark eyes are dominant. Light eyes, or these different color eyes, are recessive. He said, your own geneticist said, dark hair is dominant. Light hair, or these different color hairs, and you know what I mean, are recessive. He said, you can get the recessive from the dominant, but you cannot get the dominant from the recessive.
Come on, brother, teach them.
So this is not racist talk. And I mean, black folk who are listening, you know, who may not agree with it, but you need to know this.
Mm-hmm.
We're suffering an inferiority complex. But look at your standard of beauty. Why are you spending so much money with the Koreans to buy hair?
Mm-hmm.
As black as you are, why are you buying blue and green and yellow and pink contact lenses?
Mm-hmm. Self-hatred.
Why are those who are up in Hollywood bleaching their dark skin so it could be lighter?
Wearing their blonde hair.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you're my sister. I love you, you know, and brother. I love you. Your hair ain't going to stop me from doing that. But the question is why? Because you think that's the standard of beauty.
Hmm.
And you think that that's the standard of beauty because the white, the Caucasian race and its features have been held out to you as the standard of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this show, Top Model. The word model means a standard by which others in that line have to follow to get their meaning.
That's right.
So America's Top Model. Do you see how they look?
Mm-hmm.
Even the sisters trying so hard to look like the Caucasian woman. Because she's the standard of beauty. So you need to know this so that you can take some pride in how God made you, created you. The color that he gave your flesh, the power in the color. It's not just color. It is the power content of the color that you can go out in the sun and absorb the sun's rays and get healthier. And while the Caucasian person goes in the sun rays and gets cancer.
And burns.
I mean, you getting it today, too, because you're so much of him. But, dear family, this is not racist talk. This is to set the record straight. You're not a nigger, a coon, or buffoon, or a monkey, you know. You're not a savage that they brought from Africa and civilized you. No, 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 no. You didn't come from a monkey, although some have. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the white man, when he tried to graft himself back into the original man, he got as far as the ape.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. And so when that white man says, I'll be a monkey's uncle, he knows what he's talking about.
That's right.
I'm not making mockery, but you need to know this. And white folk, if you're listening, you need to know this to take you down a peg from your self-styled, self-established, self-built pedestal that you think you're better, not because of your accomplishments, but because of your flesh. And make no mistake about it, white supremacy undergirds every philosophy and every system in this country called America. You can take it or let it alone, but I think you'll take it by the help of Allah.
Right, brother.
Oh, okay. Did I deal with the question by the help of Allah?
Absolutely.
No doubt about it.
It's
good. So I'll take it upon myself.
Question,
okay.
Y'all don't mind.
Go ahead.
I want to get back to what we were. I'm sorry, what we were talking about. The minister made reference to white man in black skin, and he also said that you must know God and you must know Satan. So, Brother James, if you would, expound on how we recognize those white men in black skin.
Well, dear sister, the minister is making reference to what is referred to colloquially as Uncle Tom's.
Samuel L.
You know, those house Negroes. Malcolm called them house Negroes. See, they were different from the field Negroes. The Negro field Negroes knew they were in hell and in bondage, and they wanted to be free. But the house Negro wants to stay in the house because he has the comforts of the house, whatever the slave master will dole out to him, or whatever crumbs will allow that the slave master will allow to fall from his table. It's the same thing today.
That's right.
You have black leadership that wants the favor of the enemy. They want to live in luxury. And so they capitulate and compromise principle so that they could appease the man in power, who is the Caucasian.
That's right. Children of the slave master.
Yeah. These are called white men in